Indeed, and that is what we're celebrating, the vision that God has given us, that each and every day we aspire to follow Jesus, to follow Jesus in every step, to follow Jesus in every way. As he leads us, we will follow. Anybody took part in Freedom Weekend this weekend? Anybody? Wave at me. Let me see where you are. I got to see where the sleeping crowd is going to be. Okay, all right, there you are. Freedom Weekend. It's a wonderful time in the life of our church family. All of our volunteers for Freedom Weekend, wave at me. I know you're in here. Wave at me. Wake up, Pastor George. Wake up. You only had 18 guys in your house, man, from 9th to 12th grade. I don't understand why you're tired. I mean, I know they all slept at the right time. And yet, look at the commitment. Look at the commitment. After all that has been shared in Freedom Weekend, all that God has allowed to take place in Freedom Weekend, Dre, you are still conscious. And let me go ahead and just thank God for you, your ministry, and all that God is doing through you, and our students and our student lives. Truly, we are blessed because of your willingness to say yes to God and your willingness to serve him. In fact, that's what makes church such a special place. It's such a special group of people, is because when you gather this many individuals who love God for real, let me check again. Anybody here love God? Yeah. Then, Drew, it becomes one of the best places to be. That the best place we want to be is in the context of the church, not the building. Though we care for the building, this edifice, is not the church. The church are believers in Christ, those who are the body of Christ, those who have committed their lives to following Jesus. How often? Every day. Shannon, those of us who understand God's love for us through Jesus Christ and believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord, we are the church. Go ahead and nudge somebody. Just say, he's talking about you. Provided you are a believer. Because everybody who comes in the context will of the church are not necessarily yet a part of the church. But we pray by the testimony of the church, you'll be compelled to be a part of the church, the body of Christ. Because in the body of Christ, there are some unique things you will find. In the body of Christ, there are some unique people you will run into. Anybody met some of those unique people during Freedom Weekend? In the body of Christ, you'll meet individuals who have joy, who are happy to be here, who understand the psalmist, who said, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. Now, if you ever want to evaluate who's a part of the church, when I say that text, you ought to look around and see who has any semblance of gladness in their lives at all. Just look around. And pray for those who don't seem to have any. Pray that they become a part of the church. And this body, this local expression, you're such a special people. And I thank God for you. I cannot celebrate enough the sacrifice that went into taking students, young people, teenagers who are not your own into your house. Let me try that one more time. It's a blessed experience to see the church in action. That members of this body would open up their homes to let tamed teenagers come into their home and call it home and experience the welcome that comes with being a fellow worshiper of God. That is true church. And unfortunately, according to Christianity Today, but now there's a theology that is happening in modern church. Dre, you and I talk about it from time to time. A strange, twisted theology that modern church is morphing into this exercise of selfishness and individuality, robbing the truth of God's word, where God made us into a community. That God has made us responsible for each other. And what God does when we as a church come together is that God empowers us to actively live day to day doing good works for his glory. And those good works begin with how we handle each other. It might be tight, but it's right that we are responsible for one another. That we are all our brother and sister's keepers. That despite what the trends are in the world and in society, where people tend to only want to be responsible for the triplets of their lives, me, myself, and, see, you know them, that God has called us to exercise a responsibility for one another. Open your Bibles in the second chapter of Philippians, where our message for the morning is coming from. Our message for the morning is coming from that same book. If you've been with us in this series, we've been journeying through Paul's letter to the believers of Philippi. And in this letter, in this epistle, we will find truth not just for the believers then, but for the believers now. For this word is written to those who have confessed Jesus Christ, those who have aspired to follow Christ as their Lord and Savior, those who know God personally, those who celebrate the forgiveness that's in Christ Jesus. This letter, this epistle, is written to believers, which I pray that you are a part of this faithful group. Look at what the apostle says in the text beginning at the 12th verse. He says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more," somebody say much more, "in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God," who is it? It is God. "It is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." You did read it. You saw it. Where there is a clarion call to those who are believers in Christ. And that is, despite our physical dietary practices, despite how active or inactive you have been in your young or older age, when it comes to this spiritual life, there's some things you must work out. Now, I can only look at friends when I say work out, because some people might think that I'm paying particular attention to them, saying that they may need to have a membership or a subscription at one of those places where people work out. But no, I'm talking about this spiritual journey that should influence every part of our lives. This spiritual journey with God that can influence our emotions, influence what we do in the day-to-day life that we live. There are some things, brothers and sisters, we got to work out. And Keandre, we're going to talk about that, because I'm going to tell them a little bit about our experience this weekend, but I'm going to hold off just for a moment as y'all hold that name and wonder what he did, because he did some things this weekend we need to talk about. And I believe that confession is good for the soul. It's bad for the reputation, but it's good. It's good for the soul. But we'll get to that, because as we zero in on the Apostle Paul's writings, this conversation, it's really a continuation of the thought pattern, if you would, that he began in the second verse, in the second chapter, I should say. It's a continuation as he expresses to the church God's expectation for those who've experienced his grace. It's a continuation. So anytime you come to a text and the text begins with, "Therefore," my professors at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. That's a private joke, y'all. It's okay. Said that anytime you come to a text where it says, therefore, you have to ask the question. See, y'all went to my seminary. I'm so proud of y'all. What is it there for? And what the Apostle Paul is doing in writing and connecting these passages together is reminding the believers that in reflection and recognition of all that Christ has done for us, there is something that we too must do. That as we consider how good God has been in our lives, as we consider that God loved us enough that he himself would clothe himself in humanity's flesh and humble himself even to the point of death, that he might choose us as more significant than himself and lift us up out of the sinful condition that we were in, as we consider how much God loves us, as we consider how patient God has been with us, as we consider that God has been good to us. Okay, as I consider how God has been good to me. Maybe I can't talk about you. I can just talk about me. But when I look back over my life, I can't help but recognize that God has been good to me. And I know I'm not in here by myself. There's some of us right now, if we're honest about it, we can testify that when I look back, even when I didn't know God, God was still working some things out on my behalf. Is there anybody in here who could just go ahead and have a therefore moment that when I look back, I saw what God has been doing and it compels me to want to do what God tells me to do? I call it a therefore theology. We ought to have that in our lives. If we're going to work out what God has worked in, we have to have a therefore theology in our lives where we look back and see what God has said and what God has done, and we step forward to do what God has called us, church, to do. Because he's called us to be a family. He's called us to be a unified body. He's called us to have the mind of Christ. And when you look back, it gives you some encouragement to how you're going to go forward. I'm pretty sure, and I hadn't talked to him, Lainey, about this, but Lainey, I thank God for your ministry and how God has blessed you to counsel, because I may have some adults after this Freedom Weekend experience who might need the ministry. And I haven't talked to him just yet. I look forward to debriefing, but I'm pretty sure that when some of our host home parents looked at the teenagers and how blessed they were, they might have had a flashback of how when they were that age, they may have had a flashback of when their kids were that age, looking back with hope of what they're going to see when they go forward. I gotta brag on you young people just for a moment here, because regardless of what people say about young people, I'm so glad that when we come here to Champion Forest Baptist Church at Jersey Village, we can see that young people are still in the church. I'm glad that young people who truly love God, who are willing to praise God, and there's some of them that are so committed to praising God that they won't care what you believe or even say about their praise. They're going to praise God because they know God for themselves. That therefore theology, where you look back and you look forward, because the truth is, brothers and sisters, when we come to this spiritual journey with the commitment to follow Christ each and every day, it calls for us to exercise, to become active, to actively participate. And one of the things we must exercise is responsibility for your church community. We must exercise responsibility for your church community. It's right there in text. Because as we understand the context of the text, the Apostle Paul is not set in some plush palace of comfort or ease. No, Curtis, you know that the Apostle Paul is imprisoned. He's in Roman imprisonment. He's restrained and restricted. He is not in the most comfortable setting, but his concern is not in his setting, but his concern is for the church. I hope you see that. Because he's writing to the church. His concern is not for how he's going to get out of his situation. He has a greater concern, and that is for those who are his brother and sister in Christ. It teaches us, brothers and sisters, that we ought to exercise the same kind of responsibility for our church community. That when somebody in the church has need, then we all have need. When somebody in the church is weak, then we all are to come. The strong must bear the infirmity of the weak. Let me park here for a moment. Not judge those who are weak. Not be critical of those who are weak. But rather, you got to remember, that was a time in your life when you were weak yourself. Oh, come on here. Be real with me for a moment. Even if you're saved since you were 6 days old, it's not done. You can have some good days. And I see some of y'all early in the morning. You can have some. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. And yet God has brought us together because we're better together. We grow better together. And when you're responsible for your faith community, then it becomes the community that others want to be a part of. Because when people come here, they ought to see the love of Christ. When people enter the doors, they ought to feel welcome to be at home. When people come here, they ought to see that there's joy in the church, that there's peace in the church, that there's love in the church. Go ahead and look at your neighbor and just tell them, you are the church. And so when people come, they ought to see that God is at work. I'm glad you're with me here. In his church. So Apostle Paul is concerned. He has this theology where he is exercising responsibility for the church community. But as we walk through the text, he says, therefore, my beloved. Therefore, my beloved. Oftentimes, we do a cursory reading of Scripture as though every word of God hasn't been inspired by God. But the truth is, every word of Holy Writ is inspired by God, and every word matters. And so we ought not just run past that where he says, my beloved, because this particular phrase expresses a love for the very people he is writing the letter to. I hope you catch this, that as we are responsible for our church community, if we're going to work out what God has already worked in, it's important for us to exercise authenticity in your love and humility. Exercise authenticity in your love. Because there are times in our worship practices where we exhort people to greet each other. And I think that's a wonderful practice. But shame on us is that the very people we greet, we haven't cultivated the Christ-like compassion that really care about. That we have to exercise authenticity in our love. In other words, as the Apostle Paul is showing us here, any of you are Christ followers? I'm just checking for a minute. I'm doing a scan, a survey. Anybody in here call yourself a Christian? Anybody in here, you profess that you love God? I love God. No, you don't love God? What's wrong with some of y'all don't know that. It's all right. We profess that we are believers. But when things become difficult, when things are difficult, is when professing believers don't live the belief that they confess. Where people, when they examine our lives, when they see our lives, we're not always modeling the message that we want remembered. And so people are confused about what Christianity is all about. When the truth is, Christianity is a message of love. It's God's love for humanity. It's Christ's love for you and I. It was his love that compelled him in obedience to the Father's plan and purpose to give his life for each and every one of us. And that's why, Cecily, we remember John 3:16 that says, for God so he loved the world. Here is the message of Christian ministry, is that our lives ought to speak of the authenticity, not only of God's love for us, but our love for God. Because Christ himself said that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. that you exercise authenticity in your love. You model the message. And this is what the Apostle Paul is doing. He is modeling love, but hold on, and he's conveying those who are recipients of his message to do the same. Notice, the model the love for God, because notice what he says here. He says, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't run past this. He says, you have been obedient. In fact, I love the way it's put there. He says, you have always been obedient. Do you see the love there? Maybe I'm going a little too fast here. Do you see the love in the text? For not only does the Apostle Paul call them his love, or the ones he loved, he demonstrates that love because what he's doing is affirming them. See, brothers and sisters, one thing is for us to say that we love each other. But when you look through the lens of love, you're able to see something good in the body of Christ. I know. Not you, but some folks you might know, every time they come around the body of Christ, they may have a complaint. Or I'm going to get some emails on this one, Dre. You know, you're trying to do work in ministry, and then there's a complaint that comes, and nothing is ever good enough. But notice what the real church operating in love does. Love allows you to look with lenses of love and affirm the individuals you are called and commanded to love. He affirms them. He says, you know what? You've been obedient. I see your obedience. I see God working in your life. I see where you were, and I see where you are. And I see in your life there's been some progression. And in case you didn't think anybody else saw what God has been doing in your life, it's been evident to me. I see God all over you. Go and help me preach for a moment and look at somebody just saying, I see God all over you. Now, if you don't see God all over them, don't lie in church. But he's sharing with them. He's saying, look at this. He's affirming them in love. I see that God has been working in your life. And brothers and sisters, sometimes when you have a week from H-E double hockey sticks, see, I can't even spell it right. I was ready to say it. It was coming out. But I wanted to model the message. And consider you, some of you, more significant than myself. And I know some sensitivities are here for certain words, so I'm going to just go ahead and tell you. Sometimes you got a week that's full of trouble. Man, anybody ever had a week that was just one of those weeks that trauma came every time you turned around? It was just one of those weeks that it was so bad that you were almost convinced you wasn't even going to come to church because you were sick of people. I don't like to tell the truth in church. That people got on your last Christian. Yeah, you got one too. Don't just look at me like I'm the only one that got one. Carolyn, we all know that sometimes you just have one of those weeks. Sometimes you have one of those days. Sometimes when you're going through and you're just struggling, you're having a tough moment. But get this, when you come to the body of Christ, no matter how low you feel, often, like the psalmist said, if I could just get to the sanctuary, there in the sanctuary, I'll find somebody who's a holy emissary from eternity to give me a good news in my bad day. I can just get to my life group. I can just get to my worship experience. I can just get to choir rehearsal. Did I speak a word right there? If I could just get to the sanctuary, hear me. I don't care if you come late. Just make sure that you come. Because when you get here, there's a word that God has for you that no matter how bad it is, God has a word of hope for somebody. And when we operate in love, when we operate in love, we look for opportunities to affirm each other. He says, I see God working in your life, Matthew. I see what God has done. I see that you're not where you started from, that God is doing a work in your life, and I'm glad about it. He says, you have always been obedient, but he doesn't stop there because love doesn't just stop with affirmation. There's also some accountability. Say accountability. Because authentic love comes with accountability. That means then that I'm inclined not only to see where God has brought you, to see the good that God is doing in your life, but the church is also called to help each other strain for even higher, to get even higher, to look more like Christ each and every day, that we ought to come alongside each other. Come on here, Dre. I can't have you fall asleep on my sermon on the front row. Come on here, bro. That every now and then, he wasn't sleeping, y'all, by the way. He wasn't sleeping. He was actually checking the Greek, but it's okay. He was sleeping. God bless you, brother. That every now and then, when somebody is sleeping on your row, and you know that God has better for them than what they are doing, you get them up, stand them up, say, bro, it's going to be all right. God is on your side, and there's more for you. Go ahead and say, preach, pastor.
Preach, pastor.
See, I got to teach you here that God is always there, but God is there in us. I hope you get this. And God empowers us as believers, as we're willing to exercise the authenticity of love, to love each other enough to hold each other accountable.
Amen.
Because when you see your brother and sister, you also see that God has more in store for them. When you see them down, you get to remind them that no weapon formed against them is able to prosper, that God still has a plan and a purpose for their lives. And that's why you ought not be selfish in your sanctification. You ought to walk and see that everybody needs somebody. Did you hear me in here? Everybody needs somebody. In the body of Christ, we're all here for one another to help lift each other up. Because you might not know it, but pastors have problematic days too, even with an in-house counselor. I mean, hear me, as the Apostle Paul says, he says, I've seen you in your obedience when I was present, he said, but now even in my absence, more and more be obedient. Let me go ahead and work this thing for a moment, because obedience is really, when you look at that term obedience, it really comes from the Old Testament where it talks about to hear God. It's to hear him. Hold on now. You've seen it before. You've heard it. When you're talking to your teenager after Freedom Weekend, and they look like they're present in the sanctuary, but you know as a parent, they're really not present. Let me leave my teenagers alone. Anybody married in here? Any married? Raise your hand if you're happily married. All right. Now, if you're not, I'm praying for you. But I'm just looking at all the ones. I'm just looking. You ever been there before where your spouse was in the room with you and you were talking and they made those sounds like mm-hmm, mm-hmm, all at the wrong time. Yeah, mm-hmm. And you had to look at him and say, now, you didn't hear me. Yeah, I heard you. I heard you. Go ahead and testify if you can. If you ain't too ashamed, go ahead and testify. No. And then you look at him with all that ebulliency within you and you say, no, you didn't hear me, because to hear me is to respond to what you heard. I'm trying to help you understand something here. Obedience is to hear God and do what God says for you to do when he says for you to do it. What he's telling the church, he says, be obedient in your love for one another. Be obedient with being of the same mind. Be obedient with having the same purpose. In other words, exercise authenticity as a believer in Christ Jesus. I'm not done yet, because he's talking to them and he says, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Don't miss this, because what he's really saying is exercise increasing obedience of God's word. Exercise your own salvation. Let me help you. Let me help you by understanding what that's not saying. What the apostle is not saying is that you're working for your salvation. You're not getting it just yet. He's not saying that you're working to earn salvation. Because let me go and help you understand something. No matter how good we think we are or have become, none of us are able to come to God and say, you owe me salvation. No, are you getting this here? He says, work out your own salvation. This is not the salvation of justification, that I've come to Christ and he has saved me from my sins. No, this is thinking of, you work out what God has already worked in, that God has equipped you with all you need for godliness, and you're working toward a goal. I
just came not long ago, and if I pronounce this wrong, and you from that area, forgive me. See that? I'm trying to help you work out your own salvation. Part of obedience is being forgiving. You ought to say, we're going to forgive you. But I was at this place, Curtis, called Midlothian. What is it? Midlothian. If you know what I'm talking about, it's a place where nowhere. It's just, you go there, and I didn't see much. No, I didn't mean to offend you. I mean, come on. Midlothian is in the middle of, I didn't see much out there, but there I was, and I'll be honest with you, I was there because my boy had a taekwondo tournament, and Shannon, you know all about it, man. I was a proud papa. I really was. Listen, on Sunday, you call me pastor, but over there, I was dad, and I was daddy from the sideline. Now, you can fill out however you want, but my son was sparring. He was sparring there, And I was sitting there, and I'm looking at him, and he's doing his thing, you know, and I'm looking at him, and every now and then I just shout out. I say, bruh, come on, man, let your hands loose. Don't look at me like that. That's our private code. It's in love, y'all. It's in love. I say, man, come on, bruh, come on. You got C2. Do you even hear me when I say that? I'm yelling at you. See, he don't listen. He got to hear in order to be obedient. And there we were in Midlothian, and so I'm telling him he had a great time. He had a great match. Wanted to bring you back the pictures, but I didn't get him. If I say develop, kids, y'all won't even know what I'm talking about, huh? We had a great time in Midlothian, and I was telling him about how he had to work out, that he had to practice his patterns, and we were talking about how he's facing some challenges, and go, can I go ahead and tell him, bro? Can I go ahead and tell him? There he was, and he's amassed a rank of a green belt. I ain't bragging, I'm just testifying. But something was messed up, Drew, because at this particular match, I noticed, I texted his mom. I was in prayer for him because, you know, you pray for your children when they're going through some things. And I was in prayer for him because he had to compete against a black belt. See, you understand. You understand. I was praying for him because I knew what he was going to be up against. And so he and I, we got together, we were talking a little bit. He getting himself ready because he's ready to exercise everything that he learned, exercise everything that he had been working on, exercise everything he and his Master Denny, that they have their training here on our campus, everything they had been practicing, all the patterns, all the breaking. He was ready to put it into action. And because he was working on it, when the time came, he was able to demonstrate mastery of it. And I was on the sideline. I want to help you understand something, brothers and sisters. Apostle Paul says, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. What he's saying is that God has called you, God has saved you, and now there's a goal to your life. I hope you get this, that there's a goal to your life, that you work out your life toward a goal. And what is that goal? Of being Christ-like. More and more and more, you are working to be Christ-like. Kind of like a kid working out a math problem, that there's a goal to that problem, that if I follow all the steps in the problem, I'll come out with the solution. Come here, I'm trying to help you understand something. That when you work in life and you work out obedience to God, that every day of your life, you're just trying more and more to be obedient. You're working out your salvation. Every day, I'm trying to study God's word. Every day, I'm trying to express more love. Every day, I'm trying to be more forgiving. Every day, I'm trying to trust God. Every day, I'm trying to get in his word. Every day, I'm trying to be more forgiving. Every day, when I go in life, I'm trying to trust God. Every day, I'm trying to love, be more loving. Every day, I'm trying to be more forgiving. Every time I read something in the news that get on my last nerve, every day I'm trying to trust God. Every day I'm trying to get his word. Every day I'm trying to be more forgiving. Anytime I come in the sanctuary and somebody look at me crooked and funny, I look at them every day and I want to trust God. Every day I want to be more forgiving. Every day I want to follow God's word. Every day of my life, we exercise increasing obedience in God. And I hear you. You're like, well, how am I going to do that? I'm about done. How am I going to do that? It's the latter part of text. How do we do that? Because some folk are just hard to love, even in the church. Some folk, some commands are just difficult. God is still working on me, and that's just it. God is still working on you. Because look at the text. For it is God. Who is it? God. It is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Don't miss this here. That it is God who is at work on the inside of us. This word work, from the Greek, really is where we get our word energy from. Let me check my Greek scholar just for a moment. I'm right on that, right? All right, there you go. This is where we get our word energy from. Don't miss it in the context. That it is God who energizes the believers in God to do the will and the work of God. Did you get it? That we are not saved by our works. We're saved by grace, God's work, that miraculous work of salvation. We're saved by what?
Grace.
By grace. By grace are we saved through faith. And this is not of ourselves. It's a gift from God. And what are you? Oh, there it is. Then what? You got grace, then what? You have salvation, then what? Then you work out your salvation. You love more, you trust more, you hope more, you follow God more because God is in you and he gives you the energy to do what he is calling you to do. I'm almost done. Let me tell you how it was. Because, see, after my boy did well in fighting, and he did really well, took home 4 golds. See, that's why I don't need an armor bearer. I'm just telling you. That's why I don't need an armor bearer. He took home 4 goals. I mean, I was celebrating that. And I looked at him. He came to me because he's one of those kids that are not always expressive, Dre. You know, he's expressive physically, but not always verbally. And I look at him. And you ever had one of those kids where you just got to do multiple choice to figure out what's wrong with them? You got to come to them and like, yo, bro, what's happening? He's kind of hanging around, just looking at me. I'm like, man, what's wrong? I said, you tired? Oh, no. I'm not tired. I said, all right, man, what's up, bro? What's up? He had the goals just clinging all around. He's celebrating. I said, but something wrong. I said, son, what's wrong? I said, something up? No. I said, you hungry? He said, yeah. I don't know what took me so long. I mean, he's 16. I should have known already with all the matches he fought. He said, he's hungry. Curtis, I looked at him. I said, all right, man, we're going to get something to eat. And so because the church takes care of, you know, we were able to really dine in delicacy. We went to that famous establishment. Y'all have one out here called Whataburger. Some of y'all can go there in a little bit. So we went to Whataburger. I know, Ricky, I'm almost done. We went to Whataburger. My son, because of his accomplishment, because he worked hard, because he worked out, I said, yo, bro, order whatever you want. I got this. It's on me. Go ahead and order what you want. And so he gets this little patty melt. I noticed something, though. Before I said it was on me, he was already ordering, and he didn't reach in his pocket for nothing. It just disturbed me, Austin. It did. I said, yo, but it's on me, man. Go handle your business. So he orders this patty melt. Is that right? It's called a patty melt? Yeah, patty melt, French fries, and a drink. He forgot his dad was a pastor, but he's all right. I'm trying to be healthy. I order a grilled chicken sandwich. I'm working on some things. I'm working it out. And so, and there it was, Will, something happened. I'm eating my grilled chicken sandwich. And Kevin, you know, I'm sitting there with him. And it's a tray that's there. And I reached over and I started eating some of the fries. What disturbed me, Dre, is he had the audacity to ask me why I was eating his fries. I had to remind him, Tim. Partner, that's how I talk to them when I love them, you know. Partner, I bought those fries. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have no fries. In fact, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't even be, you know. And then the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder and said, don't you take credit for what God does. Don't you dare take credit that God has moved in your life and worked in your life. It wasn't because of you that good things are happening in your life. It's because of the grace of God. Don't you steal God's credit. It's God who's been doing the work. It's God who's working on you. It's God who's working through you. And all you got to do is give God the praise. Maybe you didn't hear me. Oh, let me just say that one more again. All you got to do when you look at what God is doing in you and doing through you, that you look to praise him with what you do. That every day of your life, you work to please God. You live to please God for his will and his good pleasure. That's how you do it. Because you're empowered. God will empower you. He will empower you with the spiritual energy that he provides, that you're able to work out what he's already worked in.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.